today. Hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. Well, welcome everybody. Did y'all see your worship pastor sweating up here this morning? Did you know I think worship pastors ought to sweat when they lead worship for the Lord? Come on, y'all. Like, I don't want no little prissy butt, pretty boy get up here afraid to sweat. I want to see somebody give all they got for the Lord. So welcome, man. So glad you're here. It's excited to be here. I was actually gone last week. How about Mr. Cole Hatfield last week stepping up to the plate? And so thankful for him and Marley and proud of them and proud of what God is doing in their life. And so before I get to the Word of God, I just have to say something right quick, though. Cole did a really great job, and, man, I'm just getting texts and phone calls, and he did a great job. But as I watched it myself, I just got to tell y'all something this morning. Cole lied to y'all from this pulpit last Sunday. Straight up bald-faced lied. Because I watched him, and he said this, "I can control my tongue." Cole cusses more than me, I'm just saying, y'all. Like, I had about quit cussing until Cole showed up over here. So y'all pray for him, for his cussing, and for his lying. Come on, somebody. Now, 1 Peter chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 4 through 7 today, and we'll just, we'll read those scriptures, and then we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord would say to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Scripture says this, "As you come to him," being God, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone." Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us today. You know who we are. You know what situations we're facing as we come to church this morning. You know the struggle it was to get here. You know the warfare that was going on, but for the men and women that got here, that fought through it to get here, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them today. That not I would speak to them, but you would speak to them. That you would use me, you would anoint me, you would hide me behind the cross. You would speak to your sons and daughters in a real and relevant way, and they would be changed by the word of God. We love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Peter says, as you come to him. Peter reminds us once again a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Peter encouraged us to come to the Father, to come to God. I mean, you know, that is a very simple thing that you and I can do that will improve our life. It's a very simple thing that will improve our life, that will help us just to come to God when we're struggling, to come to God when we're doubting, to come to God in the middle of fear, to come to God in the middle of anger. Just wherever you are, just go to God like he is a father, and that's what he wants. And when children come to their father, it just brings a little bit of peace and a little bit of comfort. Peter says, come to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad you come to God today. That's what you did. You come to church, you come to God. I'm glad you came to God, but I'm going to tell you about me. Sometimes I need to come to God more than once a week. Come on, somebody. I need to come to God like daily. Like sometimes I got to go to the Lord momentarily. Every moment I got to have a little help, and it says come to God. And if you don't take anything else away from here today, I want you to know, look at me, look. God just wants you to come to him. You say, Cody, I'm jacked up. I say, yeah, God knows, and everybody else knows too, you're jacked up. That doesn't matter. We're all jacked up. God just wants us to come to him. Cody, I got doubts. Cody, it doesn't matter. God just wants you to come to him, and when we connect with God, it changes everything in our life. But Peter goes a little further, and he goes, come to God as a living stone. I want to talk to you about that today, about a living stone. Like Jesus is alive, and therefore you and I should be alive as well. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of dead faith. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of dead Christianity. I grew up in dead Christianity. I grew up with a dead faith. I grew up with this dead spiritual thing going on. I mean, we are made alive through Christ Jesus. We are alive. We are born again, and Jesus lives inside of us. We should come to God as living stones. Can I talk to you a minute about being a living stone? You should look alive. You should look at your neighbor right quick. Just look at them. Do they look alive? You should look alive. Come to God as a living stone. Look alive. Look alive. We should have a sparkle in our eye. We should have a smile on our face. We should be showing our dimples. We should be lighting up the world. Can I just say something to you right quick? Our countenance matters. Our countenance matters. The way you look. Some of you look like you sucked a lemon before you came to church. A big, fat, juicy lemon. You sucked it. You sucked it. It matters. Our countenance matters. Proverbs 15, come to God as a living stone. Look alive. Proverbs 15, 13 says this. A glad heart makes for a cheerful face. Is your heart glad? Is your heart glad? Is your heart glad? No, no, no. I know you got struggles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you got troubles. I know we're in a jacked up economy. I know our government is crooked. I know your kids are going back to school. I know gas is driving you crazy. I know. But is your heart glad? Because if your heart is not glad, then you have your heart focused on the wrong thing. Because no matter what happens in this earth, as long as we have our heart and our eyes focused on God, our heart will be glad. Glad, a glad heart makes a cheerful face. Smile. I love the scripture, Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah 2, verse 1 and 2. Nehemiah verse 2, verse 1 and 2 says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and I gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in the presence of the king before. But the king said to me, why is your face sad, Nehemiah? Because I can tell you're not sick. This is nothing but sadness of the heart. I love that King Artaxerxes, he was able to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a slave. Nehemiah was just a common slave. But King Artaxerxes was able to look at Nehemiah, and because of the look on his face and because of the sadness that he exuded, the king knew something was wrong with Nehemiah. A couple of things here I want to talk to you about. Just being honest. Can I be real with y'all today? Can I hear a good amen? Some of you have a constant, sad, downtrodden, beaten, whipped up little look on your face every time I see you. And I'm just trying to help you, okay? You walk around and you have this sad look, and it's downtrodden, and you bought the lie of the enemy, and you have no gladness in your heart, and you're having a pity party, and you're a victim, and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and nobody loves you, and God is against you, and I'm never going to get ahead, and this shouldn't happen to me. Some of you have that look about you. And can I be honest with you? When people see you coming, they're just looking for an escape route to get away, because you're going to tell them the same sad sob story that you've been telling them for the last 10 years. I'm just being real. I'm trying to help you out a little bit. They want to duck off and they want to exit because they know where the conversation is going. They know where the mood is going. They know that the atmosphere is about to go south once again. And I'm not trying to take away from your pain. And I'm not trying to take away from your worry. And I'm not trying to say that life is not tough. But I'm saying this. You have a choice to choose gladness. And you have a choice to choose joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's time for you and I to choose to live and look alive. Because God is alive. And greater days are ahead because of Jesus Christ. Look alive. And the second thing, that's the first thing I want to tell you about, change your countenance, because it matters. Second thing is this, Be aware and pay attention to the people around you. King Artaxerxes didn't have to pay attention to this slave. It was a slave, y'all. There was no relationship. But the king knew about relationship. He cared about other people, and he looked at their countenance. He looked at Nehemiah, and he knew that something was wrong. Nehemiah was usually full of joy. The king showed concern. Can I tell you? Look at the people around you. Not those that are always downtrodden, but look at your wife. Look at your husband. When they're struggling, look at your children as they're going back to school and they're facing peer pressure. Look at them. Look at your friends around you. You can tell when someone is struggling. God will give you that discernment. And when they show that, reach out to them with love and concern and help them get their gladness back into their hearts. Your countenance matters. Look alive. Look alive. Look alive. They say I'm shallow anyway, and that's all right. I'll take being shallow and all that every day of the week. But I'm just convinced if we'll just look alive, it'll change our world. How many of you see somebody smile? When Clara Lynn smiles at me, and with them little eyes of hers, like, I got to get some joy in my life. Come on, y'all. I just think it would change everything if we just smile. Have a countenance, look alive, act alive. Some of y'all come walking in like this morning. Oh, yeah, no, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Just walking along. Just look alive. Come on, y'all. Age is only a matter of your mind. Come on, look alive. Act alive. Stop moping. Speak alive. Have you listened to some of the conversations that come out of your mouth? Come to God as a living stone. Speak life when you speak. Come on, y'all. How you know there's power, life, and death in your tongue? Power of life and death in your tongue. Proverbs 18:21, death and life in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, watch this, will eat the fruits of their tongue. Those who love it, some of you never speak life. You never, can I tell you something? Some of you, every time I talk to you, you talk about what's wrong. Every time I talk to you, you talk about how bad it is. I know, can I just say something? Can I tell you something real quick? I know politics are bad in America. Can I hear a good amen? But by God, America is not our hope, and the President of the United States is not our hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is alive, and He is still on the throne. Quit whining and bellyaching and talk negative about the world and speak life. Some of you never speak life and you wonder why you're always eating the fruit of death. Some of you never speak life and you wonder why you're eating the fruit of death. Can I just encourage you, speak life over yourself. Speak life over your family. Speak life over your friends. Speak life over every situation. Have faith that is alive as well. How many know you can be saved and you can go to church and your faith can still be dead? Come on, somebody. Like, have some faith that is alive, fervent, passionate, energetic. Come to God as a living stone. I am convinced if we'll start coming to God with a smile, with thanksgiving, like Connor told us about, if we'll come to God with a faith that's alive, if we'll start acting alive, God will begin to move in a greater way in our life. I'm trying to move on, but I need to help y'all out a little bit. Heavenly, you fathers, you children come to you and they're just like, oh, I'm just so sucky, Dad. I'm just a sinner and I just can't get this right and I've got it all wrong. And I just, how many of you, when your children come to you and they go, hey, Dad, I need a little bit of help, man. Dad, you're wise and Dad, you're good and Dad, you help me out. When my kids come to me that way, I am motivated to move on their behalf. But when they come to me with a whiny, hiney, victim, titty baby, American Generation Z attitude, I ain't helping them do nothing. I better move on. Come to God as a living stone. The living stone that was rejected by men, but chosen and precious in the eyes of God. Let's talk about something that's really a struggle. Let's talk about rejection. Rejected by men. How many of you, don't raise your hands, have ever felt the pain of rejection? Rejection. Rejection hurts. Rejection is very painful. Rejection sucks. The very definition of rejection is this: the act of disregarding as useless or unsatisfactory. And when divorce comes in, we feel rejected. We feel unsatisfactory. We feel like we are useless. When there's a breakup, we feel as useless. When children reject their parents, parents feel useless. When parents reject their children, we feel like we're unsatisfactory and we're not good enough. Just the definition of rejection is painful. And if we're being honest and we're telling the truth, there are many of you here today that are dealing with and struggling with rejection. Some of you, there's a current situation going on, a current situation in your life, and you're feeling rejected, and maybe you've even been rejected. For the rest of you, you got rejected many years ago. Many years ago, and it is still haunting you, and it is still shackling you. It is still like chains that are keeping you in bondage. If we don't deal with the issues of rejection, rejection will overcome our life. It will shackle us for the rest of our life. And when we become, I'm telling y'all some good stuff. Can we be real today? If you are shackled to rejection, current, a few years ago, a lot of years ago, if you are shackled to rejection, it will cause you to be a very, very, very needy person. You need everyone's attention. You need to walk with a sad countenance and a sad face so that someone will pay you a little bit of attention so that you will feel that they have accepted you, and it will override the rejection that has haunted you for so many years. You will become a very needy, needy person. You are constantly seeking the approval of others. You will do other things. You will lay down your convictions. You will lay down your values in order to get just a little bit of acceptance from other people. Rejection will wear you out. Can I just tell you something today? If you're struggling with rejection, you are in good company. Because there's a guy in the Bible whose name was David, and he's listed as a man after God's own heart. Can I tell you David was rejected by King Saul? Can I tell you that Joseph was rejected by his family? Moses was rejected by Pharaoh. Paul was rejected by the church folk. I can fit in right there. Come on, y'all. Jesus was rejected by all. He was rejected by the Jew, by the Gentile, by Pontius Pilate. He was rejected by everybody. Each one of those men in the Word of God were rejected by God, but more important, they were rejected by man, but more importantly, each one of them were chosen and accepted by God. I don't know about you, but I lived the first 20 years of my life trying to get people to accept me and trying to get people to like me. And I wanted everybody to think that I was cool. And I wanted everybody to think that I was a good cowboy. And I would do just about anything to fit in with this crowd and to fit in with that crowd. But I'm going to tell you, I came to a place in my life and I ran smack dab into my Savior, Jesus Christ. And he let me know that he had created me in his very own image and that he had plans for me, and at the moment that while I was a sinner, Jesus accepted me, I begin at that moment to not care about the rejection of anybody else. I'm going to live my life to please God. There comes a time when you and I, as born-again believers, have got to quit trying to get the acceptance of everybody in our life, because it will not work. Proverbs 29:25 says this. Proverbs 29:25, and I'm reading it out of the Message today. The fear of human opinions disables us, but trusting in God protects us from that. The fear of someone's opinions. What do they think about me? What do they like me? Do they think I'm good? Do they think I'm a good preacher? Do they think I'm a good leader? Do they think I'm this? Do they think the fear of human opinion disables us. Overcoming rejection is hard. Really hard for some people. Really, really hard for some people. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want to live in the freedom of God, it's unavoidable. You must deal with it. Overcome rejection, or rejection will overcome you. Can I say that again? Overcome rejection, or rejection will overcome you. And we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have to learn to renew our minds and accept and celebrate that God has accepted us. Come to God as a living stone. Maybe you're rejected by man, but you are accepted by God. And now he says this, you are a living stone being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You and I are chosen stones by God, and we're chosen to build up a spiritual household. Chosen to build up a spiritual house. Jesus is the stone rejected by man, but now Jesus has become our foundation and the cornerstone. Can I tell you something? If you will build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you will never, ever lose. You cannot build on the foundation of your denomination. Come on, somebody. I love the Assemblies of God, but the Assemblies of God is not my foundation. Some of you love the Church of Christ, but the Church of Christ is not your foundation. Some of you love the Baptist Church, but the Baptist Church is not your foundation. Some of you love the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church is not your foundation. Some of you enjoy, you love the sprinkling Methodist, but the Methodist is not your foundation. There is one foundation that stands sure. There is one foundation that cannot be destroyed, and it is the foundation of Jesus Christ himself, and we are called to build a spiritual house standing on Jesus Christ. Spiritual house. How many of you noticed our church when you were coming in here today? Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't near as excited about it as I am. We're building out there, and it's gone pretty fast, but it's really gone pretty slow. When you start building something, it's going to be a slow process. And you can have great contractors, and you can have great workers, and you can have great helpers, but let me tell you something, it's always going to take longer than they said it would. Come on, somebody. Because it's a little by little, by little, by little, by little, by little. And can I tell you something? Can I encourage you in your spiritual journey? You and I are building up a spiritual household stone by stone by stone, brick by brick. By brick. It's sacrifice, it's work, it's effort, but I'm going to tell you something, you got to keep building. Jesus is the foundation, and you start building a stone of salvation, and then you add to that some faith, and then you build another stone. If you're going to build up a house, a spiritual home that glorifies and edifies God, it's going to take longer than just a few weeks and a few years. We're going to have to keep building. And here's the thing I see. Sometimes we'll build a stone here, a stone here, a stone here, and a stone here, and then a wreck happens in our life, and we just tear everything down that we've already built, and we go back to our old lifestyle. Why would you want to tear down something that you've been working on all these years? Don't tear down your faith. Don't tear down your faith. How many of you, God has brought you from a mighty long way? Could I hear a good amen? Then don't you quit building. Don't you quit building. Is it going slower than you think it ought to go? Absolutely. Is the progress slowed down? Maybe it is, but can I tell you something? Progress is progress, even if it's slow progress. And in some of you, you ain't built nothing. You ain't added a stone in 10 or 15 years in your faith journey. Oh, yeah, I know. You went through confirmation over at the Catholic Church. I know. You got sprinkled over there. I know. You used to serve at that other church. But how much building have you done on your own spiritual life in the last few years? Or have you gotten fat and sassy and lazy and comfortable? And you know what? That wasn't even in my notes, but I'm just saying. For real, it's a spiritual. We're building a spiritual household. And it's your responsibility to build, and it's my responsibility to build. Look at me, look. It's not your pastor's responsibility to build your spiritual household. It's not your spouse's job to build your spiritual household. It's not your mommy and your daddy's job to build your spiritual household. It is your own salvation, and it is time that it means something to you and I, and we begin to build. And we continue to build until Jesus comes back. We're building up a spiritual household. Is it slow? Yep. Okay, here comes some more of my shallowness, okay? How many of you heard the story of the three little pigs and the big bad wolf? Did they even tell them stories anymore? I mean, I don't know. Three little pigs, and they were building a house. And they were just trying, one of them was in a hurry, had to build his house, and he went and built his house out of straw. And the other one was in a little bit of a hurry, wasn't quite a hurry, but he built it out of wood. And the last little pig said, I'm going to take my time because this is going to be my home, and I'm going to build it brick by brick by brick by brick. And while the others were playing and celebrating and living their life, this one was just building. And then along came the big bad wolf, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the straw house down just like that. And he went over to the wood house, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the house down. But then he got over here to the little piggy who had built his house on the rock and built it with brick and took some time, and it mattered to him. And he huffed and he puffed, and he couldn't blow it down. And he huffed and he puffed, and he huffed and he puffed, and it may have been scary for the little piggy inside, and the little piggy inside might have said, oh my gosh, there's a wolf out there. And the little piggy might even have drawn that .22-250 outside the window, but at the end of the day, the wolf couldn't destroy what the little pig had built, because he took time and he built it stone by stone by stone. And it's time that you and I realize, I'm gonna build my spiritual house up stone by stone, brick by brick. 2 Peter, a couple of scriptures for you and I'll quit. 2 Peter 1:5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Our faith in Jesus is our foundation, but we have to add to our faith. We have to add to the foundation virtue, character, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly affection, brotherly love. Make every effort to build up your spiritual household. Last scripture and I'm done. Make every effort every day. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I'm riding y'all like a Shetland pony today, I'm just saying. I'm riding me like a Shetland pony today. Matthew 7, 24. This challenges me as well, and I'm just telling you that. Matthew 7, 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine, praise the Lord, you are here listening to the word of God. Don't ever take away from here that Cody's just angry and I'm not even coming because he's mad when I get there. I'm just trying to push you, man. I see greatness in you. I see you living in a hut that's half built. I see greatness in you. I see plans for your marriage and plans for your children, and I want to push you. I'm like your coach, man. I'm for you. I'm not against you, because you have just barely touched the goodness of God, but you got to suck it up. You got to look alive. You got to come to God and have some active faith, and you got to start to build, or nothing is ever going to change in your life. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them? I'm glad you're here, but if you don't come here and hear the word and then go do the word, you're peeing in the wind, y'all. You can't just hear them. You got to hear them, and you got to go do them. Everyone who hears these words and does them will be like a person who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But that house did not fall because it was built on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, who was in a hurry and wouldn't put forth the effort and the energy to dig down deep to the bedrock. And the rains came, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Conrad, come help me close, please, sir. Building up a spiritual household. I don't want to get too political with you today. Our country's a mess, y'all. And there's one hope for you and your family and your children and your marriage. It's that you dig down deep and build the foundation of your life and your family and your children upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ and of his word, the word of the Almighty God. And you start building, you adding some bricks here and some character and some integrity. Keep building, keep building, keep building, because I am just trying to have common sense. And as I look down the future in the road, I can see some storms coming. Can we be real? I can see some storms and some floods and some change coming. And I don't know about you, I ain't perfect. I ain't got it right. And since Cole come around, I started cussing a little more, but I'm working on that. I ain't perfect and I ain't got it figured out, but I'm going to tell you this, when the storms come, as for me and my house, we're going to be standing on the cornerstone and the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when the storm blows over, we're still going to be standing giving God the glory. I would challenge you, and today as we close, we get to the bottom line. Always just come to the Father. Just come to God. Come to him as a living stone. Look alive. Act alive. Speak alive. Have faith that's alive. Know that God has chosen you and learn to overcome the rejection of people. Overcome it or it will overcome you. Rejoice in the fact that I'm chosen by God. And begin to build up your spiritual household rock by rock. Can't, let me tell you something, honestly. You ever watch that show? My wife and them watch it on TV. Fixer Upper. They take an old dump and they fix it up. Some of us were dumps. Come on, somebody. But God chose us and he's fixing us up. So identify yourself as a fixer-upper and not a loser. Identify yourself as building your spiritual journey. I would ask you this to the Summit Rescue. How long has it been since you put some stones and some bricks and built on your spiritual household? Some of you, you think you done got your spiritual household built. Say, what? Who are you kidding? None of us are complete. We never stop growing until we get to heaven. We never stop building until we get to the home that God has built for us. I want us to close today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. And I want us to close today with this. Would you take a minute? I'm going to pray for you. And then you got to do this orderly, because I know setup's queer in here. I get it. I understand. It's awkward. It's compacted. But down here at the on the altars, I got a bunch of rocks. I mean, they just rocks, like they just rocks. They've been prayed over, but they're rocks from, I hate to say this, Amazon, because I couldn't find them in Abilene. I hate to support them liberal son of a bucks, but you know, there's some rocks. And here's what I want to challenge you to do for the altar call today. Don't be dramatic. Don't come down here and get a rock and just hang out over the rock. Just get your rock. Just look at the rocks. Pick you up a rock. Put that rock in your pocket. Put that rock in your purse. Put that rock in your pickup. To remind you of a couple of things. One, that you're a living stone, so look alive. Second is this. It's brick by brick. Stone by stone. It ain't always going to happen quickly. It's going to be slow. But just as you see that, like, I'm going to build. I'm going to build today. I'm going to build right now. I'm going to keep building. Just a reminder. Put it with you. And I pray the Holy Spirit can speak through that unto you. So, Father, we just love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. It's quick. It's sharp. It reminds us to look alive. To act alive. It reminds us that we're living stones. Maybe we're a broken stone. Maybe we're a stone that's not so shiny. Maybe we're a stone of color. Maybe we're a stone that's messed up. But God, you chose us. We're special in your eyes. Let us rejoice in that. And then, Lord, let us begin to build every day. Build every day. Never quit, never stop, to keep building up, to be a spiritual household that brings honor and glory to you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Speak to your people in the closing moments of this service in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to sing. Come get you a rock. Make your way back to your chair. Work as we close.